In the name of Jesus, amen. You shall be holy for the Lord your God, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. There are probably a variety of different ways that these words of Jesus can be approached. This morning, for our purposes, I'd simply like to let them ask the question, these words from God, are they good news or bad? Threat or promise? Or maybe, how are you doing? You shall be holy, Jesus says. Holy. Not pretty good. Not doing the best you can and God will make up the difference. No, holy in the way the Lord your God is holy. Not trying hard. Not making good progress. Not being on the good side of the bell curve. But perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In God's book, that's the standard. No less. So, again, how are you doing? And to help us answer that question, we'll just consider the last of Jesus' two, but I say to you, sayings. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's in the Bible. If anyone injures his neighbor, as he has done, it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Whatever injury he has given a person shall be given to him. Thus says the Lord. It was the law of retaliation. It didn't entitle you to swing around and empty both barrels on the one who'd just done you wrong. No, it set a limit on retaliation. You couldn't exact more than was taken from you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Retaliation wasn't allowed to become revenge. You weren't entitled to escalate the conflict. You couldn't argue for a large settlement due to pain and suffering, or sue for massive punitive damages to teach the guy a lesson. No, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that's it. But Jesus takes this to a whole new level. Don't even take what you're entitled to. Don't even resist the one who is evil. If someone slaps you on one cheek, which was as much an insult then as it is now, offer him the other one too. If someone not bound by Moses' law tries to sue the shirt off your back, give him your coat too. If a Roman soldier forces you to walk 1 mile, walk two with him. Give to the beggar and the borrower alike. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy, perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, how's your holiness going? How are you doing on that program? When someone cuts you off on the freeway, you just let them in with a smile on your face, right? Someone suing you, you certainly try to settle for twice what they're asking, right? And you're always willing to go out of the way for someone, that shut-in who needs a ride to church, no problem, you can do it, get up a few minutes more early, it's not that big a deal. Someone needs a meal, no problem, you always deliver two. The lady standing at the exit to the Costco parking lot, she can always count on you for a couple of bucks, can't she? Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus offered his cheek to the smiters, his back to those with whips. He carried his cross down the road of sorrows. He walked the extra mile with his enemies. He gave his tunic to the ones who gambled for it. He took no revenge on those who falsely accused him. Instead, he prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He gave to those who begged of him. In fact, he still does. He freely gives to us, doesn't he? He is holy as the Lord is holy. He is perfect as his heavenly Father is perfect. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, finally, there's a word from God that makes all the sense in the world. And it's even doable. Love those close to you. Your family. Your good neighbors. People who are like you. And hate your enemy. Those on the other side of politics. those who would take away our standard of living, those who would enslave us, threaten us, or persecute us, those who would come over the border without permission, or even with it. They're the enemy, after all. If push comes to shove, they deserve to die, either in the sights of a drone or at the hands of a coyote. In fact, to make it easier, just demonize them. Call them names. Spread fake news. Call him Hitler. Call her an idiot. And make them all less human. After all, it's justified. They're enemies. Again, Jesus takes things to a whole different level when he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies." No way. Love your enemies. Those who oppose you and want you out of the way. Those rats on the political left or right, love them. Pray for your persecutors. Don't tweet about them. Don't be like the world that loves the friend and hates the enemy. Be like your Father in heaven who causes the sun to rise on the good and the evil, on his friends and his foes, who sends rain on the just and the unjust, on saint and sinner alike. Even more than that, who sent his Son to take away the sin of the whole blessed world, who came to save sinners and die for the ungodly. Don't just shake it off. Love the haters. Pray for your persecutors. Go beyond the circle of those who agree with you and think the way you do. Go beyond that and get to know those who despise you, disagree with you, slap you in the face, offend your sensibilities, or steal from you, even when you're in the right, justified, and blameless in every way. When you go that extra mile with your enemy, you are venturing into Jesus' country. Wilderness, where love is for the loveless, mercy for the merciless, redemption for the unredeemed, salvation for the totally unsalvageable. And here you'll find just how deep the corruption of sin goes and how high the demands of the law are. Step by step, law by law, rule by rule, Jesus has raised the bar of the law to insurmountable heights. From murder and divorce and adultery of heart to love for the enemy and a cheek turned toward those who would smack it. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not pretty good and trying hard, but holy and perfect. That's the law. But the law can't get you there, even if you're a Christian. No matter what, the law always accuses. It can hold out the standard. It can tell you what to do. It can show you where the line is, but it can't get you there. It can raise the bar, but it can't lift you over it. It can hold out hope of life with God, for the man who does these things will live by them, Scripture says. But ultimately, it can only deliver you dead as a doornail at the foot of the judge. Were you a sinless saint, the law would be automatic. You probably wouldn't even talk about it as law. It would come to you as naturally as breathing. You would automatically turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile, give to the beggar, love your enemy, and pray for your persecutor. Why, you'd be like Adam and Eve before the fall. You'd be in the spitting image of God. You'd be holy as the Lord your God is holy. You'd be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You'd be his son. There is one who is holy as the Lord our God is holy. There is one who is perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. There is one man who embodies us all, who does the law down to the smallest detail. He loves his enemies, prays for his persecutors, gives his cheek to those who would slap him. He carries his cross an extra mile. He dies for his enemies. In order to do this law and to live up to Jesus, "But I say to you," you've got to be sinless. And there's only one who is. No other human being in the history of the world has lived up to this. No other person, no matter how holy and perfect in our eyes, has lived up to the standards that Jesus sets here. Close doesn't count. Trying hard doesn't cut it. Forgiveness isn't making up the difference after you've tried the best you can. It's all or nothing. Death or life. Curse or blessing. Hell or heaven. Jesus came to do the law. He left His Father's glory. He emptied Himself of all the perks and privileges of being the eternal Son of God, even though He always remained the eternal Son of God. He took up our humanity, our flesh and blood. He humbled Himself and became obedient to His own law. He did it perfectly. And it killed Him. No big surprise there. The law always kills. It killed Jesus. Sure, it was the Sanhedrin and Pilate and others who conspired against Him, but underneath it all was the law, and it always accuses, always demands, always kills. That's not the only thing it does. It moves us to repentance, which is huge, but even in doing that, it always kills. The wages of sin is death. The power of sin to kill is the law. Jesus became sin for us so that the law would kill Him. Sin was put to death in His flesh, in your place. The law still kills, and it kills you, kills me. Sin must be put to death, and the law will do that. But fortunately, the law is not the last word. Jesus is. The law brings you to Jesus. Not as a living saint, but as a dead sinner. Like an angry dog, the law deposits you dead at the feet of Jesus, just where you need to be. Just where every sinner needs to be, dead at the feet of Jesus. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God made you alive in Christ Jesus. He became sin for us who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The law drops us dead at the feet of Jesus so that Jesus can raise us from the dead. And in raising us, Jesus does two things for us. First, He forgives. He has taken your sin and placed it as far from you as the east is from the west. He's buried every infraction of the law. All our anger and murders, our lust, divorces, adulteries, our resentment and bitterness, our failure to love the enemy and give to the beggar, you are forgiven in Christ. He's washed you in His blood. He's buried you in His death. You are baptized, a reborn child of God. First, He forgives. And second, He gives you something you don't have. His holiness, His righteousness, His perfection, they're yours in Him. In Him you are holy. In Him you are righteous. In Him you are innocent, blameless, perfect. Not in yourself. In Christ you are these things. He takes the law into His own hands and gives it back to you as fulfilled gift. He is your holiness, your righteousness, your innocence, your perfection under the law, so that when the devil and the world and your conscience, your whatever, accuses you and says to you, "Look at you! Look at you! You call yourself a Christian? You need to do more. You need to be more holy, perfect." Then hide. Hide behind Jesus in your baptism and say with the large catechism, "Nevertheless, I am baptized. And if I am baptized, I have the promise that I shall be saved and have eternal life both in body and soul." Jesus doesn't frighten us or cajole us into a holy, perfect life. He knows that won't work. He doesn't reform us by making us better, but by making us dead and alive in Jesus. in Jesus' own time through precious word and holy water and sacred supper. He crucifies us dead and buried only to raise us in his Easter resurrection as forgiven brothers and sisters. And you, the Heavenly Father, has hid in the death and the resurrection of his Son. In Christ, that's the way your Father sees you. Holy, perfect, you, me. All things are yours, and yours are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Pretty amazing. In fact, that is what's life-changing. Now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.